This episode is going to be a little bit different because we are going to answer off some questions that you guys have sent in for the podcast. I kind of did something different here where I made a YouTube video, right? I recorded this whole video and I did a whole vlog based around these Q&A questions that were sent in for like both podcast or YouTube. And I recorded the whole thing with my buddy Zach, and I was gonna put it together and edit it before the end of the year, and I lost all the footage. I don't know what happened. We somehow, like, we had half of it got deleted, and then we lost the card to the other half. It was messed up, but oh well. So that footage is gone. So we're gonna answer these questions on the podcast as our second episode for 2019. I hope you're all having an amazing day, amazing night. If you're driving to work, if you're going to bed, whenever you're listening to this, I just want to let you know that you are loved by me and by God. So let's hop right into it. I'm going to kind of do some speed work here, and then if ones really need to be elaborated on and I need to go deep with them, then I will. All right. What foods do you eat on a day-to-day basis? Well, I eat anything and everything, most of which evolves around, I eat a lot of chicken sandwiches. Like seriously, I eat a lot of chicken sandwiches. Reason being, I need protein. I love chicken. That's one of my main sources of protein. And I love carbs. So bread, chicken, bread, bam. Realistically though, I don't really have any type of diet. When March comes around, I'm going to really get into some more structured dieting, start tracking my macros, try to get lean for summer. But as of the last 6 months, I have not done anything. I've just been eating whatever, but trying to eat whole foods and drink my freaking water. All right, what made you want to start YouTube? What is the end goal and purpose of your YouTube and your vlogs? So, let me real quick backstory. I started once I came out of my whole slump of being depressed and not giving a crap what people think and all that. I started doing stuff on Snapchat, and that was like my first platform that I really started honing in on what I was gonna become and what I was gonna pursue, which was being on camera, being on video, making content, motivating, inspiring, all that good stuff. I started on Snapchat. I didn't really see myself doing YouTube, reason being, as I was like, well, it's too saturated. There's too many people doing it. I want to do it, but it's too much work, and it's the odds of me succeeding on it are so slim now, yada, 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 excuses, excuses, excuses. I finally just, what actually initiated it, I was at the gym with a buddy named Jared. I don't talk to him much now because he's grinding and I'm grinding, and it's one of the things, like, we won't see each other for months, and then we see each other, it's like, bro, man, how you been? And, like, everything's good. I don't see him a lot, but I was talking to him, and we were just discussing some things about just grinding and like executing, and we're just tired of excuses. And so he wanted to start a YouTube channel. He's not really doing it anymore. He's focusing on some other stuff, but we're both like, well, let's do it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, well, if I do it, you're going to do it, and you can't stop. You're going to, like, and so basically we just held each other accountable, and we started, and literally the night, like, we were going to go work out, and the whole entire night, we both came in there to work out. We talked in the gym for 2 hours and never even worked out hardly at all. And then that, as soon as we said goodbye that night, I literally got in my car and I made my first YouTube video, like that I consider my first YouTube video. I think I have one other one up there, but literally my first real YouTube video that I made was in the car the night that we talked about starting. And I mean, the motive behind it, you could go a lot deeper with like the motive, like I want to use YouTube as a platform to not just show my life. It's deeper than that, but I want to use it to connect with people and show people that you can thrive and live like this joy-filled lifestyle without having all the stuff. And I do throw some travel in there now whenever I can, but it's not about that. And even when I'm not traveling or anything, I'm still enjoying life to the fullest. And I want to just show that, like, the little stuff can be fun, especially the gym. And the end goal and the purpose for all that is just, it's to influence and inspire and to make an impact. One or 1 million, right? It's not about the quantity per se. It's about the depth. And I know that God has put the desires in my heart to do these things for a reason, and to be a face, a voice online. And so I'm pursuing that God-given desire. What denomination are you? I am Pentecostal-ish. Personally, as I get older, I'm just non-denominational, man. It's Jesus. Who gives a crap about denomination? It's denomination is more tradition, denominations have different traditions, and really all that separates the denominations is their traditions and the things they teach. At the end of the day, it's Jesus, and back in biblical times, they had the different churches and stuff, but I don't like the whole idea of denominations. The thing should be Jesus. I do believe in speaking in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit and all that, and the God-inspired word and yada, 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 but I'm denominational. My denomination is Pentecostal / non-denominational. How has God impacted you, and what do you look forward to in the next season? That's a really broad... Let me take a sip of water here. My voice is getting weird. It's really broad. How has God impacted me? I'll make an assumption. I'll talk about something specifically. One thing God has really done for me this past year, we're in 2019 now, but in 2018, He really answered my prayers. I fasted for 21 days and did the Daniel fast, and I prayed that He would reveal to me more clarity on my passions and my direction. For the first 6 months, nothing happened, and then all of a sudden, boom, I had this realization, and I kind of came into what I was supposed to do. And God has impacted me by not only revealing to me more specifically what he wants me to do and the direction He wants me to go, but He's given me the confirmation that the desires that I have, that I had and continue to have before I knew what my passions were and what God wanted me to do, those desires were placed there by God. And that was like a really big realization for me, that, you know, God was like, Jabin, I put those, why, you know, you have these desires, yes, because I put them there. They're not selfish desires. They're coming from the right heart. And in the next season, I'm looking forward to God slowly beginning to water the seeds that I'm planting and blessing and putting His touch on the things that I'm pursuing. Does that make sense? So 2018 was a year of execution and starting and like and cranking the engine, right? You know what I'm saying? Putting the fuel in there and like getting stuff going. And then in the future years to come, I'm looking forward to that season of just growth, right? Growth. And I'm going to back that up with passion, because that is my word for 2019. What keeps you motivated, not only in your walk with Christ, but also in your fitness journey? Motivated in my walk with Christ is, as a Christian, if you love the Lord, just like any relationship, you should want to spend time with the Lord. I do not spend as much time with the Lord as I should. None of us do. We should always want to spend more time with the Lord. But I shouldn't have to feel motivated. If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you shouldn't have to feel motivated to spend time with them and develop that relationship and go on dates and hang out and watch movies together and cook dinner. You shouldn't feel motivated to do that. It should come naturally. So I don't really stay motivated through my walk with Christ. That's my desire, is to know the Lord and have a relationship with Him. And fitness wise, oh boy, we just talked about this in the last podcast, but I'll just briefly run over again. It's less about motivation and it's more about discipline. And for me, the gym is a thing of discipline, to where I went until it became a habit. And then once it became a habit, it kind of took over, just like brushing your teeth or taking a shower. Sometimes you don't really want to brush your teeth because you're really tired, or you don't want to take a shower because you just want to go to bed, or you got a lot to do and you don't want to take the time to do it. But it is habit, and it's almost like, I don't want to, but I got to. It's a part of my life. Same thing with fitness. I don't always like to go, but the discipline was set in place early on that allowed me to be able to really go without, whether or not I like it or not, I'm going to go because it's part of my life. So if you haven't listened to the other podcast and you want to know more about how to stay motivated and how to get consistent in the gym, please, please go check that out. And if you have already, please shout me out, hit me up, be like, yo, this was a good podcast, at Javis Thorns on Instagram, and I will tag it and repost it. Favorite powerlifter, Ed Byler. Average time to edit a vlog. Average, this is very, it's all over the place because it depends on a lot of different variables. How long it is, how many days it was, how many gigabytes of footage I have to go through, how many edits I do, how much like text and like sound effects and timestamps. Average from start to finish, not including filming or anything, but importing, editing, exporting, all that. It was probably 30 plus hours. Now I would say maybe around 20 hours of just editing, which is really, I know that's a lot, but it's slowly getting better and coming down because I'm getting better editing. How do you come up with new content for YouTube, podcasts, etc.? I actually spoke on this as well, I believe, on a podcast. It's weird how that works. I don't think I ever spoke about this because someone asked, but I just somehow stumbled on it. let me think about this a second. Basically, the best way I can describe it is I don't believe in forced content. And what I mean by that is if I'm having to try to force something, like force content that's not naturally occurring, that I don't, like, I'm not passionate about in the moment, I won't post it. Some people disagree with this, and if a lot of you that listen to my podcast probably have heard of Gary Vee. Gary Vee is all about, you know, just like content. I agree with that. I do, but I'm not at a point where someone's following me around with a camera and I'm constantly like taking everything I do and just turning it into content. So with me, I still in a way kind of have to make content, even though I'm still documenting just me and my process and my journey, just like he talks about. The way I come up with it is just, I don't come up with it. I just feel it. I don't know how to explain it. Like I'm in Patrick's apartment right now. I'm by myself. He's on tour right now, and I'm chilling and I'm doing work and stuff. I'm recording this, and I was about to pack up and go, and I was like, man, I feel like answering some questions. Let's do it. And then I just feel it. I think macro. I put time and effort into the macro thought of like, okay, like what's the brand? What's the overall? What am I trying to achieve here? What's like the purpose of all this? But on the micro, I just put out what's in my head, and the only thought that goes into executing that is the way I package it, if that makes sense. The way I package the ideas, the content, does take time, you know, fonts, color scheme, angles, edits, captions, all that. That does take thought, but in terms of the content itself, it's naturally occurring for me. I don't know how to explain it. When did you start working out, and how long did it take you to start seeing results? Well, that's a long journey, and I can go down a long path about that. To sum it up, you know, a little backstory. I used to be really fat, got made fun of, picked on, and I was one of the kids that it was like passive aggressive. So like I would hold it in and then laugh about it with them, and then like go home and cry about it at night. You know what I mean? So I didn't show it, and everybody thought it was just funny, and then I laughed with them, and it just made it worse, and I started resenting my friends, and I didn't have a lot of friends, and then basically just got depressed and downward spiral, got suicidal, all that crap. And then I woke up one day and said, I'm not going to give a crap what people think. And then a year or two after that, I got super, super skinny because all I wanted to do was get skinny, and I wished I was just skinny, and then it happened, and then I got made fun of for being lanky and small and scrawny. And people would call me like bird chest and like pick on like me not having any muscle and like tweet tweet and like make little birdie noises about, because I had like a flat nothing chest. I was skinny. And I would get upset and cry about that. And so I started doing push-ups. I think when I was, I want to say 14 or so. It was around when I started dating my ex, Sarah. I'm pretty sure it's when I started. Well, not because of her, but it just happened that way. So I started doing some push-ups for about 3 months because that's all I wanted, to get my chest up a little bit. And I started seeing a little bit of results, and I got built like a foundation of like physical activity, because you know, you get activation in your triceps and your shoulders and your core. So it was like a nice good little compound exercise to start me out. And then When I was 15, I started getting into a little bit more, started watching more vloggers, like fitness vloggers and stuff. And I would dabble around. I got a little bench press and weight thing Dad got me out in the garage. And I started fiddling with that. And that kind of built me up a little more, a little foundation. So I started seeing results even when I wasn't being consistent, which is, that never happened. Like, that won't happen forever. It was newbie gains. So I was just working out kind of randomly for little weeks at a time and then would stop. I was kind of eating whatever. And I was intermittent fasting, which was so dumb at my age. 14, 15 years old, you don't need to be intermittent fasting and skipping meals and restricting your body from calories because it's trying to grow. Once you get a little bit older, once you mellow out, I think that's okay. I've done intermittent fasting in the past. I've just been too young. I'll probably do it more as I get older and finish kind of growing. But right now, I'm just eating a lot. 16, I started getting into it pretty hardcore. Basically, from the end of summer of last year, right, or maybe sort of the beginning of summer, I got into it, but I wasn't consistent because I was going on vacation. I went to Bolivia, took a month off, and then I was at the beach and stuff. But really, in the last, like the end of summer, I've really gotten super consistent, and I've seen some awesome growth. I've gotten so many stretch marks in the last 6 months. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, there's stretch marks on my biceps. There's stretch marks on my quads, on my hamstrings, like my groin, my lats. Like, I have stretch marks a lot of places because my muscles are actually growing pretty good. I'm on creatine right now. I just started that about a week or two ago. And if you don't know what that is, it's a naturally occurring substance in your body that it basically sucks water from your system and puts it in your muscle, and it helps you perform just a little bit better. It makes you a little fluffier, you look a little fluffier than usual, but it just kind of retains water in your muscles and helps you get a little bit stronger and all that good stuff. So maybe that'll help. Who knows? Enough about that one. Ooh, that's the echo. It's kind of echoey in here. So here's another one. How long has God been a part of your life / your salvation story? I was raised in church, so God has, the idea of God and Jesus and the stories have always been there. I never knew anything but that. I was a bad kid, but not like the type of bad that y'all are probably thinking. I was just very disobedient, very rebellious at home, like got in fights a lot with my brothers and had a mouth and stuff. And I wasn't like doing drugs or out like drinking when I was little and stuff. I wasn't around that. I was just a bad kid. But I was raised in church and I knew about it, but it was just kind of, it was more of a practice because mom and dad brought me to church and I just did the thing and I didn't really feel much. You just learn the story. It's kind of like just hanging out, you go to hang out with your friends and stuff. It wasn't until just a couple years ago, really, probably 15 maybe, that I, 15 or 16 actually, I don't know, that I really started knowing God for myself. And so relationally, God's really only been a part of my life for really a few years, in my opinion, because I didn't accept it as my own later on until I grew and matured enough to understand that it was a relationship and not a practice or a religion. Which there's this really big video I'm thinking about doing, and I'm gonna give y'all, I'm just, all the people that listen to the podcast, y'all were getting like first peek at this, and you're gonna kind of understand it, so it's not gonna be clickbait to you. But I'm thinking about doing a video titled, "I'm No Longer a Christian." And I'm not going to tell you much about it, but basically, Christianity is slowly becoming just a religion and a set of practices and traditions. But I want to be a follower of Christ. And this is something that I talked to my friend Cy about. Simon, I don't really see him a lot either, but he told me this. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm no longer referring myself as a Christian, but a follower of Christ. And I was like, oof, that's a bold statement. I like that. And he kind of got me hooked on it. I've been thinking about it. I'm no longer a Christian, but a follower of Christ. Because when you're a follower of Christ, you follow Jesus, you don't follow the practices of the church. And I love that. And so I think it's empowering and it's unifying it's unifying to even think about the thought of just everyone being like, you know what, I'm a follower of Christ. You're all there. It's Jesus. That's the reason. So, yeah, God has been in my life personally for a few years now, and it's a relationship between me and Him. And once you look at it like that, and you look at it as an actual intimate relationship, just like you would a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a father, like that whole thing, it opens your eyes very, very much. How do you prioritize things? I am terrible at prioritizing things. Terrible. And by the way, all these questions, I haven't told you already, not scripted. Like, I'm literally opening up my phone and just doing this right now. No preparation at all. I am terrible at prioritizing things. The way I prioritize my process is what's like at the forefront, what has to be done now. It's kind of like procrastination in a way, where it's like, what has to be done the soonest? Like, what's the most urgent? That's probably how I do it. And sometimes I don't prioritize things correctly, because whereas mom might want me to hang out and do something with the family, half the time I'm going to go to the gym instead. Now, depending on who you are, you could take that for what it is. Some people say the gym, your consistency, your goals are more important than a movie with your family. Some people say, hey, YOLO, you only live once, spend as much time with your family as you can. It's very just per individual based in terms of what's important to you. I'm bad at prioritizing things. I'm just bad. So there you go. What does your 5-year plan look like? I don't have a 5-year plan. I know I should. So everyone can roast me on the DMs about that. I have my overall plan and like my goals, like my desires. I know the direction I'm supposed to go in, and I'm really not putting a cap on what the goal is and what the plan is, because it's always changing. And a year ago, I look at what was going on, and I look at now, I look at 2017 and 2018, and literally everything that's happened in the entire year didn't go is how I planned it all. Like, just, it's like literally nothing. Nothing went how I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was dating this girl, Hannah, and I thought we were going to be great, and then like we broke up, and that broke my heart, and I was thinking I was going to do social media marketing or something. There's so much that like, I'm playing in another church now. Like, I'm not even playing at the same church that I've been at for 17 years. Like, it's crazy. It's just so much is changing, and God's calling me to different seasons. So I can't really tell you what my five-year plan looks like. Ooh, that's funny. The next one is top 5 goals in 2019. Again, I can give you some specific ones. They're not top. I'm not going to say top 5 goals, right? I'm not going to put a cap on it, but I'm wanting to go to Germany this year. I'm wanting to go back to Bolivia. That's kind of up in the air right now. I'm not sure about that, but I'm thinking about going. If it works out, Germany, these are more travel goals. Germany, Bolivia, possibly back to New York City for the third time in like not very long time. Hawaii. Right, so Germany, Bolivia, NYC again, Hawaii, that's a big one, family goal, that's what we're wanting to do, is go to Hawaii this year. And the last one, this one's kind of cheesy, but I want to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you listen to the podcast and you haven't subscribed, or subscribed to the YouTube channel, please go subscribe after you listen to this and comment on something or DM me and be like, yo, I subscribed. To the YouTube channel, I would greatly appreciate it. That's my goal. And by the way, once I hit 1,000 subs on YouTube, I'm actually waxing all my belly hair. So that's going to be interesting, because I don't want to do that. And I have a lot of belly hair for a 17-year-old. Not looking forward to it. I shouldn't have made that promise, because I thought it would take a lot longer to get to 1,000 subs than it had. I'm already almost at 400, so we're almost halfway there. And I really think that 2019... because it's my year of passion, that passion is going to be it's going to be communicated well to everyone, and you guys are going to feel my passion, and you're going to want to support that and pour into that. So I really hope I get to 1,000 subs. And those are 5 goals of mine in 2019, most of which are travel. I also would like to get a girlfriend. I don't know if that's a goal. You shouldn't make that a goal. But I'm just really waiting on God for that. Because right now, at this point in my life, realistically, I'm so honed in on what I'm doing. And just like, I don't want to, if the right girl, if it's like really the right girl and I just fall face first for her, I'm going to make time for her. But it's, I just don't know if I can really put the time into like dating. Like, there's a day of the week where I've got some time after work or before work and you know, hey babe, can we go hang out? Can we go on a date? And I'm like, I gotta edit a podcast. I gotta edit a YouTube video. I gotta go to the gym. I have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's stuff that I would really want to do that girl would have to be really special to me to pull me away from that. But when the right one comes, I will make the time and we'll figure it out. And hopefully she'll be like me in the mindset of, you know, just like a go-getter and a hard worker. And she'll understand when I need to sit down and put my head down and do things. And then here's, wow, these are like back to back to back. What is your biggest goal in life? It's good. Biggest goal in life is to basically just fulfill, like live up and fulfill like my God-given desires. The things that God has given me the desire for, I want to execute on and pursue at the highest level possible. That way I have no regrets and I feel like I'm living out my purpose. And that's, you know what, that leads into the last one actually. This is a really good segue, which is happiness versus joy. For those of you who don't know, my mom's word for life, you know how thrive is my word for life? Well, my mom's is joy. And a lot of people get happiness and joy confused. And this is a really good one to end on here. So happiness, the difference between happiness and joy is, happiness is, you can create happiness through materialistic, worldly things. Whether that be a car, money, girls, relationship, like just stuff. You can make yourself happier and get things to bring you pleasure through the world that makes you happy. And it's a worldly fulfillment. Happiness is more of a worldly fulfillment, but joy comes from the Lord. So if you visualize this here, you got happiness and you have joy. Happiness is great, and I want to be happy, and everyone should strive for happiness. And you need both. You need to be happy. But joy is much deeper. It's internal. So it's one of those things where happiness is an outward, I guess, feeling or emotion. It's something that outside circumstances create happiness, right? But joy comes from within. It's eternal. It's eternal fulfillment and like internal, like, I don't know how to explain it. Joy comes from the Lord. The Lord is eternal, and He's the only one that can satisfy your needs. So the only real way to acquire real joy is to source it from its source, which is God. So seek the Lord, and He'll give you that joy regardless of your circumstances. Does that make sense? Like, regardless of what's going on, if your girlfriend, if your boyfriend breaks up with you, if you lose the house, if you crash your car, if you're out of money, if you're hungry, if your friends abandon you, whatever, that can dilute your happiness. That can alter your emotions and make you sad, because sadness and happiness can't coexist, but sadness and joy can, because joy, you can be joyful while you're in that time, that season of hard circumstance, of sadness, of struggle. You can still be joyful through that. Whereas if you're going through something and you just lost a loved one, you lost your mom, your mom got shot in the head, you can't be sad and happy about that at the same time. Sadness is going to probably take over and you're not going to be able to be happy for a while. But only through God are you able to have that joy down in your life, that when that time of mourning is over, you'll still have joy internally. Happiness doesn't work like that. Happiness isn't that powerful. Joy is a powerful thing. True joy, like true joy that comes from the Lord, that's a powerful, powerful thing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Think about this. In this order, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right behind love. When God was speaking this into these writers, whoever it was, I don't even know who wrote this verse, but joy is right after love. And, you know, God is a God of order, and I do believe that He put joy there for a reason, because joy is so important, especially for Christians. That is one of the primary things that separates us from the world, is even through the midst of our storms, we can still have joy. We're ending on that. I love you guys. Keep thriving. Keep grinding. Eat your freaking broccoli. No, excuse me. It's dang broccoli. Eat your dang broccoli and drink your freaking water, right? Sorry if I went on kind of like a crazy, like deep thing, but I need to get that point across, right? Joy. Think about it. Meditate on it. Ask the Lord for it if you don't already have it. It's important. I'm still cultivating that fruit of the Spirit internally, but it's happening and we're making progress. That's what it's all about. Forward motion, right? Ever forward. Y'all have a good one. We'll talk in the next one. Peace.